that he has not won the victory, that Christ won the victory there on Calvary for you and for me, and it can be our practical experience living in this world. So the book of Deuteronomy chapter 2, I'm just going to read three verses this morning. We trust you have had a Merry Christmas and good holidays. And we trust that the Lord has just blessed you tremendously and greatly. So our mind really all this week leading up to today, we're thinking about January 1st, 2023, a new year. I've not seen you since last year, and it's good to see you again this year. But so we're thinking about that, maybe what the Bible says about a new year. And so I want you to think on this thought just for a moment. Not just a new year, but a new life. Not just a new year, but a new life. Deuteronomy chapter 2, the Bible says this. Then we turned and took our journey into the wilderness by way of the Red Sea, as the Lord spake unto me, and we compassed Mount Seir many days. And the Lord spake unto me, saying, Ye have compassed this mountain long enough. Turn you northward. May God add the blessings to the reading of His Word. You may be seated, and you join us in prayer as we pray. Father in heaven, thank you for allowing us to come to your house once again. And Father, thank you for your children this morning. I pray for each one of them. I pray for our brothers and sisters that's gathered here with one mind, one purpose. Lord, gathered here by one Spirit, and that's your Spirit, Lord. So, Father, we just want to worship you today in spirit and in truth. We thank you for your word. We thank you for those we love that surround us. Thank you, Lord, for those watching on Liberty Live today. I pray that, God, you'd bless them where they are at. And, Father, for that individual that's here and not only needing a new year, but, Father, a whole new life. Father, I'm glad that we can find life and life eternal and life abundant in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. And so, Father, we pray for your word today that you will just put an anointing upon it and help us to, Lord, to send what you have given us that we may encourage somebody today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. An interesting story. I love these Old Testament stories about the children of Israel. And so the children of Israel, as the Lord has spoke to them and reminded them that he had brought them through the Red Sea, he in this little short narrative, and in this little bit of encouragement, in this devotion that he gave them, he reminds them of that Red Sea crossing. But he had brought his people through the Red Sea, and now as they're making their way to the Promised Land, they get to Mount Seir. And apparently they had spent too much time going round and around this mountain. And so the Lord steps in, and he is just as blunt and as frank as he could be. And he says this. He said, you went around this mountain long enough. It's now time to get moving north. It's time to start heading toward the Promised Land. And man, I tell you, just in those three verses, very, very few words, that is action-packed. The children of Israel have been delivered by a great miracle, actually delivered by many great miracles. God had provided for them along the way and blessed them and fed them and poured His goodness out upon them. You would think that when God had done all that God had done for the children of Israel, that they wouldn't stop at some mountain and just go round and round in circles. You would think that when they looked at their life and they thought about all that God had done for them, one would think that they would have a little hitch in their giddy up. That man, they would be ready to roll and they would be ready to go and they would be aimed for the true north and headed to the Promised Land. But they come to this mountain and this mountain hangs them up and they go round and around and around. And so in just very simple words, the Lord just steps in and say, hey, remember I brought you through the Red Sea and you've come to this mountain. Now you've been stuck at this mountain long enough. You've been going in circles long enough. Get up, get back on the path, and go where you're supposed to be going. Man, that's just a clear, concise word from the Lord. The interesting thing is, is they didn't have to run to their preacher and ask him, well, what does all this mean? They didn't have to pray on it for days. They didn't have to go seek spiritual counsel. They had heard from the Lord and they already knew what they were supposed to be doing. And so God said, quit going around this mountain. You've been here long enough. Start moving north. And they packed up their gear and their ditty bag and they started heading north. Man, if only it was that simple with our own lives. We get stuck at these mountains along the way. Certain things in our lives get us held up tied down, if you will. And we end up spending much of our time, much of our days going in circles. Now, somebody here, I've had a conversation recently, a friend of mine and I, and we both made this same honest confession, but somebody to each other, but somebody here, you're going to understand exactly what I'm talking about, and I don't have to elaborate. I couldn't possibly elaborate on your particular situation. But somebody here knows exactly what the children of Israel were feeling here. You've got this huge mountain in your life, and it's got you hung up, and you keep going around and around and around. I just told someone the other day, they confessed they were hung up on something in their past, and not trying to be overly simplistic or not being sympathetic. I just told them, I said, listen, the thing is, that's in your past. That's in your past. Somewhere along the way, I said, you have got to turn that over to the Lord and leave your past in your past and your yesterdays in your yesterdays and let God unfold His future for you in your todays. And so we get stuck on these mountains in our lives, whatever it may be. It may be a sin struggle. It may be some kind of emotional struggle that we have. It may be just some kind of roadblock that Satan has put up. And maybe it's a certain satanic attack that we have faced. And it's crippled us. And so we're like a wounded animal. We're just going round and around and around and around. Never leaving that place where we feel like we're stuck and we're spinning our wheels. Man, I remember one time up home, we had this place called Dark Ridge. And Dark Ridge was a place where everybody took their trucks to go four-wheeling because there were some of the most massive mud holes that you have ever seen. These are mountain mud holes that you've ever seen in Dark Ridge. And one day after school in the wintertime, it was about 4 o'clock, not many hours before dark, me and a buddy of mine decided to take my truck up there and we were going to drive in Dark Ridge and drive back out. And it was my first trip into Dark Ridge in my truck. And so we took off driving in there and we got to the very last hole and I kind of come up to where I could see it and I stopped and it just a huge, looked like a small pond. And then there was a path around it over to the right side. And the path around it to the right side went all the way around it, come out on the left side. And I said, what do we do here? And he said, well, nobody goes through this hole because nobody can ever make it through it. Everybody gets stuck. So just go to the right and go around it. That's what everybody else does. You know how that goes to a 17 or 18-year-old boy. No, I was determined. We're going through this hole. I took off and gunned it, and we hit that hole. And when we did, my truck sunk down. Water come all the way across the roof of the vehicle. And when all the waves had stopped, I was stuck. Water at the bottom of my windshield and just below my door, just below my window. And so I had to crawl out, jump and half swim to get back over to the bank, try to see what we could do to get out of that stuck hole. And I tried and I tried. I found sticks of wood and I found pieces of firewood where people had built fires. And I got out, got in that waist-deep mud hole. And right there, the main tire that was seemed to be lodged was that back right tire. So I was right there where the exhaust was bubbling and sputtering mud all over me. And it was a royal mess. And so finally, we realized we couldn't get out and help ourselves, that we needed help. And so we walked the 2.5 miles out right at dark. And we went to this small little campground, and here was this guy in this Ford Bronco, full-size Ford Bronco back then, spotless, immaculate, chrome wheels, chrome bumpers. And we were like, sir, we have stuck my truck at the end of Dark Ridge. could you please come and pull us out? He said, how bad is it? And we said, it's not bad at all. But if we get any mud on your vehicle, we'll wash it when we get back. And we had to get help to come get my truck out. Thank God he come in there and helped us, and we washed his truck by flashlight late that night. But anyway, he needed help. And listen, that's the way it is in life. We get stuck sometimes. There's things in our life that hangs us up. And we're just going around and around and around and around, and we're not making any progress, and we're not really what we're supposed to be or going where we're supposed to be going. But we've got to be reminded of a few things as we think about where the children of Israel were and where we're at. I want to ask you this question. Are you today where you were this time last year? Are you in the same place, stuck by the same issue or by the same problem? Well, there's a few things I'll say really, really fast to maybe move us along. The Lord does not want us spending our life going round and around or spinning our wheels, staying in the same place. There's got to be some measure of progress in our lives where we're walking forward and moving with God. Well, number one, I believe one of the things that will give us a new life, not just a new year, but a new life, is a matter of priority. Because I want to tell you one of the things the devil does. He likes to consume our life when we're speaking of eternity. He likes to consume our life with things that are insignificant and are truly of no value in light of eternity. Let me say it like this, according to how Paul said it. Paul said that one day when we stand before the judgment as believers, that all of our works, that they're going to be judged, and they're going to be judged based upon are they gold, silver, and precious stones, or are they wood, hay, and stubble? And Paul makes it very clear that in that day that there'll be a purging with fire. And wood, hay, and stubble, you know, will not stand up to fire. But gold, silver, and precious stones, they will endure the furnace. And one of the things to note between those two, if we're going to study that text, is this. Wood, hay, and stubble, that's the easy things to find. You can find wood, hay, and stubble by walking right here behind this church building this morning. But I promise you this, if you're going to find gold, silver, or precious stones, you're going to have to go back there somewhere and you're going to have to dig. And you may have to dig hard and you may have to dig long and you may have to dig deep. You've got to work. You've got to work. And so I think that one of the things that it in our life is it's our priority sometimes that even with the best of intentions, our priorities get all screwed up and we lose focus of why we're here and doing what we're doing. My mind was this morning getting ready, thinking about priorities on an organization. And their start and their beginnings used to be on Christ and bringing people and families to the Lord. I was thinking today how that now their focus is on so many other things, and really the Lord is kind of just a byproduct or a side product, I should say. And so it is in our lives, with the best of intentions. One of the things that get us stuck and we go round and round and around, we feel like we're not going anywhere. And here's the thing, when we get in those positions, we start blaming everybody else but ourselves. It's your fault that I'm stuck. And it's your fault that I'm going round and around. If only you'd have done this, if only you'd have said that, and I wouldn't be where I am today. No. No, we've got to admit that in our own lives that sometimes our priorities get mixed up and we start investing in things that in light of eternity are simply wood, hay, and stubble, and they'll be burned up one day. Are we investing in eternal things when it comes to eternity? Well, it's a matter of priority. So I'm just asking you, prioritize your life right now. Think about what it is that busies you and distracts you and leads you away from Christ. Because listen, I want to share something with you. The Bible speaks about the devil that he is as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. But I want to tell you something. The lion, I've watched enough back in the day, it was Wild Kingdom. Anybody remember Wild Kingdom? If I prayed that music right now, a lot of your heads would turn and remember that. But then it's been National Geographic, and now it's just wildlife shows on YouTube. But I've watched enough of those Africa videos and lions out on those African ranges to where you don't see a lion that is hunting walking around roaring, saying, "Look at me, I'm king of the jungle. I'm going to come get you. I'm going to come eat you. Look at me, roar." You don't see that. See, lions only roar after they make a kill. But what that lion does is this. That lion is patient. He is so patient. And what he does is he looks at the group and he watches the group, and sometimes he'll stalk that group. And he's very cunning and he's very clever and he's very stealthful. And he's down in the bushes and he's down in that tall grass and he's watching that group. And in that group, you know what he's watching for? He's not watching for the strong, but he's watching for one that's weak. He's watching for one that's sick. And he's watching for one that, as a result of its weakness or sickness or just downright carelessness, he's watching for one to start sliding to the outside of the group. And as the group moves, that one that's been sick or weak or just careless begins to fall to the back of the herd. And that lion then picks him out. And once he picks out his victim, and once he picks out that prey, he's still so, so patient because he's got to wait for the right time and the right place. And I don't know how they do it. I guess it's just through how that they are raised by those older lionesses and lions in that pack. But they know exactly when the right time is. They maybe made enough misses to where they finally fine-tuned it and they know how to make a good kill. And so they watch and they've got that target picked at because that target is weak or hurt or falling to the outside of the herd. And he watches and he stalks and he watches and he stalks and he watches and he stalks and he crouches and he lays and he's waiting and he's waiting. Until that time is right. And when that time he makes his move and he pounces. And he latches into that prey with his claws. And he latches into that prey with his fangs. And he rolls that deer, whatever kind of plains animal it may be, he rolls it over and he sinks a bite right into his throat to where he cuts off his air and that animal can no longer breathe until he finally has that kill. And then he roars. And then he roars. Friend, I want to tell you something. Our priorities are important in our life because it keeps us focused. It keeps us strong. It keeps us healthy as believers. And we get our focus on Christ. And we get our focus on His church. This right here is one of the most important things. And if you're watching on Liberty Live this morning, and if you're unable to go to the house of the Lord, then we're so thankful the World Wide Web has made it possible for you to join us. You're elderly, you're sick this morning, whatever the case may be. But if you're watching and you're able to be in the house of the Lord, then you need to be in church somewhere. You need to be with the herd. Get together with God's people because there is this enemy. And if you get your priorities wrong, you'll start floating to the outskirt until he starts stalking you, and trying to get you. And just a word with that. Just a word with that. And it's this. The number one thing that a lion catches is the young. Is the young. That's why when people come in and I don't know, I don't get people sometimes. Sometimes people age me, so if I've got gray hair and wrinkles, you're going to know. But I don't understand people who, they've got children. Whatever age, it doesn't matter because children watch their mothers and fathers. And then somebody doesn't shake their hand, or somebody doesn't say hey to them, or somebody doesn't recognize their hairdo, or somebody doesn't ask them to sing a song or speak or open in prayer, whatever the case may be. And they're like, I'm just going to shut down. I'm going to pull away. And I'm just going to walk away. I'll go find me I'm just going to tuck my Bible under my arm and I'm going to go find me a church somewhere where somebody will speak to me and somebody will shake my hand and somebody will ask me to be the center of attention. And I want to tell you what happens is you take your children with you. You drag them out. And then you drag somebody else out. And next thing you know, you and those you're dragging out are on the outskirts of the flock. And the enemy's watching. And don't expect him to come charging out of the bushes and make a kill right then. He doesn't operate like that. He's stealthy. He's patient. And I want you to know, as I thought about this, I believe he will wait for years and years to make the right kill at the right time, at the right place. So we've got to have our priorities. Is everything in our life, you can write this down and categorize it. Is what I'm doing with this organization, is this wood, hay, and stubble, or gold, silver, and precious stones? Is what I'm doing with these people, is what I'm doing with my personal life, are these activities, is my focus, is my energy, the things that's getting all my time, is it gold, silver, precious stones, or is it wood, hay, and stubble going to be burned up in the last days? So it's a matter of priorities. That'll get you hung up on a mountain. That'll get you hung up going in circles. Some of you ended this year knowing that you were ending 2022 the way 2022 started, and it's been in your mind this week or yesterday maybe, that you don't want 2023 to be like 2022 was. That you want something different because God's got something different planned for you. So it's a matter of priority, but it's also a matter of purpose. A matter of purpose. Let me remind you of something. While you're going round and around stuck by whatever's got you stuck, whatever trap the enemy's laid out, you're missing God's purpose for you and God's calling for you. And I think God's purpose and God's calling is so much greater than just standing on a stage on Sunday morning with a microphone or at the podium. I think for everyone that says they're a child of God, God's done what he's done for you because God's got a high call on your life. And that's why you can't get unstuck. And that's why you're wanting to go round and around in the same place when God's give you a promise and God's give you a future. God's got something he wants you to be doing for his name's sake. And that's why God says, hey, folks, children of Israel, while you're going round and around the mountain, I need to say something to you. Remember, I brought you through the Red Sea and now you're stuck here long enough. Get up and start moving northward. Amen. He reminded them about their deliverance in the past. And so we need to start thinking about this. Why did God save us? Why did God deliver us through the Red Sea of sin? Why has God brought us through the struggles that he's brought us through? Why has God forgiven us of the failures that we failed him in such ways? Why has God met needs that we had? Why has God healed us of cancers and car wrecks and various diseases? Why has God supplied every need in my life in the past? Is it so I can get stuck and hung up on something and go round and around in circles? Or is it because God's got a purpose for me that's bigger than this mountain that stands in front of me? I think that's what it is. Are you with me this morning? Say amen. Some of you stayed out at the bar too late last night, I can tell. I'll do you like I did my nephew this morning who's with me and he loves his Uncle David. It was time to get up and he couldn't get up early enough for me. Like I was up at 5:30 this morning and I was waiting on him to roll out of bed. And so I let him sleep to 8:45 and then I got the leaf blower and busted in his room and blasted him out of bed with the leaf blower. You all right, bud? He's good. It's pretty good because it's a wake-up call and a hairdo all at the same time. Yeah. So God's got a purpose for you. But here's the thing. If you're going to let the devil let you get stuck and round and around, I'm not making light of your mountain. It was a mountain they were stuck at. And around, I'm not making light of it. I'm not trying to tell you sweep it under the rug, get over it, grow up. Pull up your spiritual diapers. I'm not telling you any of that. But I know how serious this is. But I also know that God delivered you. God saved you. God's met your needs and every need supply. Why? Just to do it because he's a big teddy bear in the sky that just likes to love and baby and pamper on his kids? No. Because God's got a purpose in your life bigger than the mountain that you're stuck on. And so it's a matter of realizing that, hey, God's got a purpose for me. I'm not going to sit here and stay at this mountain. I'm not going to spin my wheels at this mountain. I'm not going to go round and around at this mountain. But I'm going to take hold of prayer and walk into the throne room and get my eyes on God's purpose for my life and my living. And I'm going to enjoy the promised land that He's promised me. So it's a matter of purpose. But I want to tell you what else it is. It's a matter of passion sometimes. It's a matter of passion. Well, let me ask this. What is your passion? What is your passion? Now think about that. What is your passion? I tell you this, the Lord's passion is you. He is so passionate about you. In fact, He was passionate about you when you were a drunk. He was passionate about you when you were doing drugs. He was passionate about you when you were sleeping around. He was passionate about you when you hated Him. He was passionate about you when the thoughts of your mind were ungodly. He was passionate about you when you were running from Him. He's always been passionate for you. He's been passionate for you even after you were saved. You still failed Him. He's still passionate for you. He loves you. You are God's passion. You need to write that down. And so what is your passion? Shouldn't your passion be the Lord? Shouldn't your passion just be sitting at His feet day in and day out? Serving Him day out, day in and day out. We can learn a lot from Mary, but we can learn a lot from Martha too. I think we need a little Mary and a little Martha in our lives. But be passionate about something. Be passionate that you're a child of the King. I met a man the other day. When I first met him, I met him in McDonald's several months ago. He's an older man. It looks like maybe, I don't know, we'll say 65. And he comes up to me and he said, excuse me, sir. I was at the register and he walks up. You know, don't bother me during my register time. I'm trying to order. You know, I got to get my coffee and so forth. But he said, excuse me, sir. No, yes, sir. He said, were you by chance in the military or law enforcement? And I said, well, it's actually both. And he said, well, he said, I come over here to kick your tail, but he said, I think I changed my mind now. And I said, okay. And he started laughing and he shook my hand and we had a little fun time with it. And then the other day he come up to me and I hadn't seen him in months and he come up to me the other day and he said, hey, all my guys over at the table over there give me $50 to come over here and beat you up. And I said, okay, let me finish ordering first. And you going to do it inside or you going to do it outside? And he just started laughing. He hugged my neck, but he told me who he was. And he said, I'm a builder. And he said, my sons are builders. And he said, my daddy was a builder. And he said, we build. And he said, we plan building. We talk about building. We dream building. We eat building. He said, pretty much everything we do has to do with building. But he said, and then he said this, watch this. Now watch. Here's a lesson for us all. But he said, everything I do is because of Jesus. And he said, I just want everybody to know that everything I build and everything I do with building and everything in my life is just because of the Lord. He said, I don't know where I'd be without the Lord. And he said, I'll tell you this. He said, it's my purpose to share Jesus with everybody I come in contact with. And you know what that man had done? He started building a relationship with me. I just thought he was a friendly old man. I really did. Because he was having such a good time joking about that stuff and coming up to me and talking like that. And we were laughing with one another. But he was trying to build a bridge into my life. Because he didn't know if I knew the Lord or not. But the Lord was so important to him, he had this passion in him. And he's a builder. He's not a missionary, not on a foreign soil. He's not a preacher, not a pastor, not a gospel singer. He's a builder. But you know what his life's passion is? Is telling everybody he can about Jesus because of all the Lord had done for him. Ain't that something? Hallelujah. I'm glad these people like that around. You can have passion about you. No matter where it is God has planted you in life, whether it's in a doctor's office as a doctor or a lawyer's office or a factory or digging a ditch or a chicken house or a cattle farm or a school teacher or a college professor or a college student, or working at a bank or working at a gas station, wherever it is, God has planted you. You can have a passion in you about Jesus. And I want to tell you something. You get passionate about the Lord, you ain't got time to invest any passions on whatever it is may hang you up and get you walking around in circles. And so I just wonder if there's anybody here who would be interested in not just a new year, but really a new life. Because the Lord said, I'll give you life eternal. Rejoice that your name's written up there. But I'm going to give you abundant life in this life. Watch this. Edison, can you come and get us a... Just, you don't even have to sing. If you got something to sing, that'll be fine. But just pick us something. When I was in the Army, one of the things I really, really loved was land navigation. It was all so interesting to me because, you know, I was raised in the mountains and quite literally, particularly where I was at, anywhere I hunted within a 10-mile radius of this mountain called Mount Lynn Lowry, there's a cross on the very top of this 5,000-foot mountain, I think, maybe 6,000-foot mountain, about a 20 or 30-foot lit cross. A man who owned the mountain years ago, his daughter's name was Lynn Lowry. She died of leukemia. He erected this, and there's been keepers of the lights on that big cross. And so anywhere within a 10-mile radius of that area, on the Maggie Valley side, Cataloochee side, all the way over in Jackson County and Haywood County, if I could just look and find the cross, I knew where I was at, or at least I knew where I could go and how I could get out of the woods. And if I wasn't there, if I were in other places, it's just a matter of knowing mountaintops. You're looking, you're seeing Double Top, or you're seeing Sugarloaf, or you're seeing Grassy Ridge Mines, or you're seeing Meat Market Ridge. If I could find any of those places, then I'm good. But to get in flat country, like down here, that was something different. Or like in Fort Benning, that was entirely different. So it's amazing to me that they give you a map and a compass and start teaching you land navigation, land nav, and you can start doing triangulation and figuring out exactly where you're at by terrain features. And then you can figure out exactly where you're going. And 64 of my steps is 100 meters, and so I've measured it out on my map. And so if I go 300 meters this direction here, then I'm going to hit a small little stream. And that small little stream will then take me down to a river. And I can see all this on my map. And so it's all fascinating to me. The whole world was opening up once I discovered how to use a map and compass. I thought it was the best thing ever. But one of the things they teach you is this. Is that because we have a dominant side, just because you're right-handed doesn't mean your right side's going to be the dominant side, or left-handed, left side's the dominant side. One side's stronger than the other. That's the dominant side. And so when I'm in the woods and I'm wanting to go to a certain location, I'll shoot an azimuth, say it may be that direction, and at some distant target, whether it be a big oak tree, a fallen tree, or whatever, I'll set my map and compass, and that'll be my azimuth. And I'll start heading that way. But one of the things I got to do, particularly at nighttime when it's dark, because you can't see, you don't use flashlights when you're in the military, is I got to remember that dominant side, it's going to eventually pull me. And it's going to pull me, and it's going to pull me. And if I let it pull me long enough, I'll eventually make a big circle. And I'll find myself going in circles in the middle of a swamp in the middle of the night. And so one of the things I have to intentionally do about ever so often at such a distance or so many steps is I need to intentionally make a pull back to the other direction to keep my line straight. Because left on my own, my dominant side's going to pull me. It's going to pull me, and it's going to pull me, and I'll miss my mark. And if I'm off 30 yards right here, then in 2 miles, I'll be a mile off. And I'll be totally lost. And so along the way, every now and then, I have to intentionally make a correction, let's say back to the right, keep me on course. Well, I want to tell you something. What the Lord does this morning is the Lord says there's somebody that's stuck, tired of spinning tires, tired of staying in place, tired of going around and around, tired of being confronted and stopped by this one big mountain, this one thing in my life. that keeps me in the same place day in and day out. I want to move on. I want to get my priorities in order. I want to have a passion. And I want to remember God's got a purpose for me. My purpose is bigger than this map. My purpose is bigger than staying in the same place. God wants me down the road somewhere, moving toward His promises. And so God sent that message this morning, and that verse this morning, that text this morning, to say to you, pull back to the right a little bit. Adjust course so you'll make it to your destination. See, we've got a destination we're striving toward. Paul called it the finish line. We're trying to make it to the finish line. It's not a sprint that we're in, but it's a marathon. Much happens along the way. But I'll tell you this, you keep your eyes on Jesus. Refocus yourself every now and then. Let the Spirit of God cause you to get a new vision of Jesus and who He is in your life and all that He's ever done for you, and start moving toward the promises of God. And so if you're that somebody today and the Lord has spoke to you, why don't you take a step out of that pew into the altar and say, Lord, I'm just readjusting here today because I know You've got some promises for me, and I'm not going to let a mountain stop me by Your grace in Jesus' name. Stand, Addison, if you want to sing, sing.